Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Dr. Ray Pritchard, who's co-hosting with me from Dallas, and Walker Wildman, who's in studio giving commentary and keeping our Facebook page active with all the stories we've been talking about here. Hey, let me tell you before we go to the news with Steve Jordahl that our Holy Land trip in March, I think we've got 40 people, something like that. And so I think we got 60 seats. So 55, 60 seats. So you can see we're not far away from filling up. So if you want to go with us to Israel in March, you're welcome to do that, and we'd love to have you. Most people who are going are AFR listeners or AFA supporters. So, you know, we're going to fly over there. It's a great time of the year to go. Typically, the weather's really nice, and we'll be going from New York to Tel Aviv and then bussing over to Jerusalem, spend 4 nights in Jerusalem, see the Garden of Gethsemane. We'll see the Mount of Olives. We'll go to the Garden Tomb, the Old City, all the things, the Upper Room, the things you've read about, the Temple Mount, the Wailing Wall. We'll see all those things. That's just in Jerusalem. And then Bethlehem, see the birthplace of Christ. Go to Jericho, the Dead Sea, Masada, the Jordan River. We'll have a baptism service there. We will go take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. We'll go to Nazareth, the home where Jesus was from. We'll go to Capernaum. We'll spend a couple of nights on the seashore at a hotel in Galilee. So it's going to be the Valley of Armageddon, Mount Carmel, all of it. We'll see all those places. So if that's what you want to do, you want to go with us, we'd love to have you. It does cost money. Because the airline, they won't give us, they're not a charity, they tell me. And the hotels, they won't, I don't know why, but they want people to pay to stay there. And food and all those things. So it does cost, but we'd love to have you if you can afford it. And if you want to go this year, or next year rather, to March 2017. You can find out more information at the website twholyland.com. TWHolyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your mailbox that you can hold in your hand and read, we can do that too. That is 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. Leave us your name and your address, and we will send you a brochure in the mail. Again, we're filling up. I don't know how much longer that we'll have seats available for that March trip to Israel. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve Jordahl.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Ray.
Here's Steve. Steve's from the One News Now desk and the American Family Radio News. Steve,
yes,
what's going on, brother?
Well, top of the page at One News Now, we have an article about Mike Pence and how he might help defund Planned Parenthood. We also have an op-ed from Bob Knight, who's with the American Civil Rights Union, as opposed to the ACLU, Liberties Union, who's talking about the Justice Department playing down voter intimidation. And I was looking today, Tim and Ray, about how a Justice Department might look different under a President Trump than it has looked under a President Obama. And I think there are scads of things to think about what it's going to look like and what different...
Who's going to be the next Attorney General, though?
Well,
Trey Gowdy?
Speculation.
Yeah,
That position has not been filled yet, right?
It has not been filled. The big money is going on... there's a congressman in it, but I don't know why I didn't bring his name in, but...
It's not Trey Gowdy?
It's not Trey Gowdy. No, that's not the name
somebody
that was
else.
Mentioned to me. I should know this. I'm
The three people, according to the New York Times, who are in the top running for Attorney General are Chris Christie, Rudy Giuliani and Jeff Sessions.
Rudy Giuliani said he doesn't want the job. He's 72. He's 72, but his name is up for Secretary of State.
And Jeff Sessions was the one.
The senator from Alabama, been with, was the first senator, I think, to endorse Trump. He's worked in the Justice Department.
He's worked in the Justice Department. He was a state for the Justice Department. He's a state attorney, and he was the attorney general in Alabama.
I want to get back to this story about cutting off funding for Planned Parenthood because we're going to have a party here at AFA and AFR the day that happens. Yeah. I mean, we may even let people off work early because that's huge. Let me remind folks who don't know, Planned Parenthood is – they do more abortions than any other organization in the world. And they somehow are able to use a bookkeeping trick to receive taxpayer money and still do abortions. Hmm. You're not supposed to be able to do that because of the Hyde Amendment, which has been in place since the 80s. And that is that taxpayers... tax money should not go to any organization that does abortion. That's law. Somehow Planned Parenthood gets away with this by, again, having two sets of books. But what has happened, you remember last year the videos came out, the secretly taped videos showing that Planned Parenthood was involved in behavior that is indescribable. It's evil. That, I mean, well, abortion itself is evil. We're talking about dismembering unborn babies. We're talking about, I hate to say these things, folks, but sometimes we got to be reminded about just how evil this is.
Yeah,
you're talking about a saline solution being used to scald unborn babies, fetuses, is to kill these unborn babies. And Planned Parenthood promotes that under the guise of women's right to choose. And so what the Democrats support this, they support, remember Hillary Clinton said, I want to get rid of the Hyde Amendment. I want taxpayers to pay for all the abortions. That's the platform she ran on. So what's going to be interesting to see, because President-elect Donald Trump, when he gets in there, he has said he pro-life and he wants to end the money going to Planned Parenthood because they do abortions. And there's going to be a battle royale, Ray, when this comes up, because the Democrats, they don't have the numbers to stop this, but they're going to try to keep the money flowing to Planned Parenthood, and Donald Trump and the Republican Congress are going to have to shut it off.
Well, this raises, to me, a very interesting, I mean, there's a certain amount of political calculus that goes into this in terms of, you know, what do you tackle first?
Yes.
Coming out of the box, right?
You mean if you're the Democrats?
No, I mean, if you're a Republican, okay. You know, how quickly does President Trump want to tackle this? But answer me this question: if we don't get Planned Parenthood defunded now,
it never will be.
Right. It never will be.
No,
right?
It will be. It will be. It will be completely demoralizing to the pro-life community. If with the House and the Senate and a president committed to pro-life, you can do it. All you do is I don't know all the details, but I know that the Congress has to have an annual budget. And you just take them out of the budget. You just take Planned Parenthood out of the budget. Remember, the deal last year, Steve, was that President Obama, the Republicans in the Congress said, listen, we can't take Planned Parenthood out because President Obama will veto the whole budget. And we'll be blamed for shutting down the government.
Yeah, which was always an odd argument to me. If the president's veto is the one that shuts down the funding, that the Republicans would somehow get blamed for it. Maybe the press would have blamed them.
Right.
But no, it is doable.
You're saying Governor Mike Pence, now Vice President-elect, he's for defunding Planned Parenthood.
He, in fact, according to our reporter Charlie Butts, who has a story up at One News Now, is the person that authored the language in the last budget, the amendment that would have defunded Planned Parenthood. So he led the charge.
But he wasn't in Congress, though.
Well,
you're talking about 10 years ago when he was in Congress?
Yes, when he was in Congress. He was the man.
So Planned Parenthood, they're worried about Mike Pence.
Yeah.
And go ahead,
thankfully,
Marcus.
Yeah. This is a big deal, folks. If we could defund Planned Parenthood, you're saving the lives of millions of babies.
Oh, so I think, Ray, I wanted you to comment on this. And I know this, people that are not Christians, when I talk like I'm about to talk, it spooks them. But I'm going to tell you what I think, Ray, and get you to comment on it. Killing unborn babies in their mother's wombs is satanic, all right? It is almost an act of Baal worship. This is the golden calf for God haters. And the abortion industry, Satan hates life and God loves life. So Satan will use abortion to snuff out innocent human life in the womb. When you start talking about defunding Planned Parenthood, as I said, it was the largest provider of abortion in America today, then, and I mean this expression in the right way, I'm not using it in a profound way, Ray, but all hell's going to break loose.
You know, that's not just a metaphor.
Go ahead.
That's the literal truth. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, speaking of the devil, comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. So where does he do it? Well, many places, but he steals babies out of the womb. He destroys unborn life. He kills it. He incites people. The abortion industry is a demonically, satanically inspired evil industry. And I wouldn't take back any of those words. It's as evil as it could possibly be. So he's going to fight back. And I was just thinking about, Tim, when you were talking there, let's say that the Republicans have the courage and President Trump stands behind his word and Vice President Pence pushes this. Okay, so what's going to happen? They're going to be defunded. Planned Parenthood is going to go to the courts. They're going to find some liberal judges to stop what Congress has done, which I think ultimately comes full circle back to the importance of the Supreme Court and that next appointment on the court, because I think that's where this is all going to end up.
Yeah, you've taken us a little bit down the road there on what might happen. If I were Congress and I were the president and you had a federal judge, if that were to happen where a federal judge would say to the Congress, you must fund Planned Parenthood, I would tell that federal judge, no, we're not going to. Come stop us. Because that would be, the reason I say that would be completely not the jurisdiction of the of a judge. It would, and not saying that that kind of stuff has not happened before. It's just that it is the purview and prerogative and constitutional responsibility of the Congress to control the purse.
Right.
And so I would just ignore a federal judge if he said you must fund this, because he has no right to make that kind of a dictate. Now, what's going to happen is, the liberals in the Congress, namely the Democrats, they're going to go epileptic. They're going to go ballistic. But they don't have the numbers to stop this. The Republicans can control defunding Planned Parenthood now because they have the House, the Senate, and the White House. Now, if the Democrats want to fight back, they will have to shut down the whole federal government, the thing that they accused of. Republicans of.
Mm-hmm. One caveat to that, if I could, Tim, and the Senate rules are such that one senator can gum up everything. It does, the House is in charge of funding, but the Senate must pass a funding bill, the budget. It must vote as well on it. So, and one senator can stand
Up. Well, he can do that. And then what the Republicans do and say is just like last time, say this man is trying to shut down the whole government over Planned Parenthood. There was an election. President Obama said he was pro-life. Elections have consequences. They need to throw all this back in the Democrats' face, Walker, when this comes
if
up.
If you really, if the Congress and the Senate and then Trump really want Planned Parenthood defunded, then they will do just like Obamacare was rammed through at midnight. I believe it was on Christmas Eve at midnight. They rammed through Obamacare when no Republican was there to even vote. And they use the reconciliation, which means in the Senate you only need 51 votes.
Right.
And so if they're serious about it, then they'll play hardball. And about the federal judge, they can impeach that federal judge.
Yeah, if they want to.
Yeah.
I don't know why they should have to play that kind of hardball, though, really, with something so common sense and so unanimously
Here's what's going to happen. I guess this should all play out fairly soon. I don't know when the next budget process is debated. But what's going to happen is, Ray – Steve, Republicans will have to say, you know, we're not including Planned Parenthood in our annual budget any longer. And then when they say, well, you're against promoting women's health because they do tests for women on cancer and
right.
et cetera.
Right.
What the Republicans need to say then is we will be glad to fund Planned Parenthood 100%. All they have to do is quit doing abortions.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, what yep. if they did that?
Well, I think that would be dropping the gauntlet down. That's
but it would be putting them. It would be putting Planned Parenthood in their place by saying we'll fund Planned Parenthood. They just got to stop doing abortions, and then Planned Parenthood will have to choose: do we want federal money or not?
There is
we're talking about $500 million a year, by the way.
It is. It's a yeah. lot of money. It's about a third, I believe, of Planned Parenthood's budget. And you have a very powerful lobby in the so-called feminist lobby. You have, and Ray, I know you've seen this happen over and over again, where people who disagree with, that they have their own terminology for things. You know, they don't want to call it an unborn child. They want to call it a fetus. And they have a way of twisting an argument to make what they do sound compassionate and kind, that a woman is in charge of her own body. So if it's going to be an ideological yeah. battle that they're going to have to. We're going to have to start reiterating the truth about what's in the womb and what the consequences are.
When they say, I believe in a woman's right to control her own body, pro-choice, those people who favor abortion – they know how important language is. Let me just tell you something. If there wasn't something alive that needed killing, you wouldn't need an abortion.
Well, yeah.
So there is something there that if not stopped, will be birthed here's 9 months from now.
Child.
So when a woman's right to choose, you need to finish that sentence. I believe if you're a woman's right to choose, you say, I believe in a woman's right to choose to stop the growth, if that's how that's about as clean a way as you can put it, of my unborn baby or their unborn baby. Because if you don't kill the baby with abortion, it's going to become in 9 months, you're going to have a baby coming out of the birth canal.
So this would be my suggestion, guys, about and ladies and gentlemen, yeah. about what I would suggest they do. You link abortion with something that is so universally reviled and hated that there's no comparison. And what that is the Holocaust. With my apologies to my Jewish friends who believe that that term is reserved only for them, the abortion industry represents 10 Holocausts. And if you can get that message across, there is nobody that's going to be able to say, well, I'm for this. And then you highlight the care and compassion that we have for the woman who's in a very difficult situation. You highlight the adoption industry and what,
right.
For example, our friends at Focus on the Family have done with trying to almost eliminate the waiting list for adoptable kids out of foster care. All of these things which the left will say that we don't care about because all we care about is the life before it's born. Mm-hmm. We're doing incredible things on the other side of the womb
yeah.
for children and families, and you highlight those things and you just take the legs out from under any argument that says that abortion is necessary or good.
Yeah, but anyway, we're talking about what's likely to happen. What's going to happen in the next couple of months, whenever the budget for the next year comes up and is debated, Planned Parenthood will be removed if they continue to do abortions, if Donald Trump and Mike Pence and the Republicans in the Congress keep their word mm-hmm. on their pro-life.
And you know, Tim, I think it's that last if they keep their word.
Right.
I think they intend to, right?
Yes.
But you used an expression, all hell is going to break loose. There's a spiritual application there, and frankly, just pure political pressure. We haven't seen
right.
the firestorm that's going to erupt. I think it says two things. Number one, I hope the president says to Mike Pence, I'll back you. You take
right.
the lead.
Right.
And number two, it's very important that we get that ninth justice on the Supreme Court.
Right.
Because, you know, going back to what Walker said about Obamacare, that wasn't really, quote, settled until the vote came, the decision came down from the Supreme Court. It's going to end up back there. This next appointment is so important.
Amen. Hey, well, listen, we got another guest on. We want to tell you about something you want to watch on TV on Thursday night. It's going to be very encouraging and And Walker, you want to introduce our guest and tell them?
Yeah, on now we have Emil Zwain, and he is president of Living Waters Publication, and he's also spokesperson for the National Bible Bee. Emil, thank you for coming on.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Emil, thanks for being on with us. As Walker said, I'm Tim with Ray, and where are you today, by the way?
I am in San Antonio at the JW Marriott Resort. And,
tell us about what Walker was talking about. Keep in mind that our listeners, most of them aren't aware of this. So just tell us what we need to know about the National Bible Bee.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the National Bible Bee competition is an annual competition that takes place where young people from all around the world come together and demonstrate their ability not only to know God's word, but to hide it in their heart and eventually to become doers of it. So I'll tell you, I came to this competition a few years back for my first time. I wasn't a part of it. I was just there as a spectator. And to sit there and listen to these young people ranging from age 7 to 18 recite God's word, they're memorizing up to 800 Bible verses. And get this, they're doing it within the course of a few months. And so talk about being humbled. You know, I'm a 41-year-old man, and I memorize Scripture. But when I listen to these young people, not just having memorized Scripture, but reciting it with such power and boldness and love for the Lord, it's absolutely amazing.
Well, tell us about how people can watch this tomorrow. Is it tomorrow or Thursday? Is it Thursday?
Yeah,
isn't
it's going to be Thursday the 17th. It'll go 17th, 18th, 19th. And they could watch it by going to BibleBee.org, and we're going to be doing a Facebook live broadcast, and they can find out information at BibleBee.org about the schedule and how they can connect with that. I'll tell you, it is something that every Christian man, woman, and child should watch, because the aspect of what we're doing is to inspire other believers to also hide God's word in their heart. So I would encourage everyone to check that out. Again, that's BibleBee.org.
All right, I've just shared this to our Facebook page so our listeners can find it.
Today's Issues Facebook page?
Yeah, I've shared the event.
Ray, go ahead.
Well, this is such a fantastic event. So it's Thursday and Friday, and Saturday also?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 17th through the 19th. And you know, you would think, okay, listening to kids recite Scripture can get a little boring, but there's also Bible knowledge questions that they deal with as well. And like Psalm 119 says, you know, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I heard you guys just a minute ago talking about our nation and the different things going on. The hope of the Bible Bee is to raise up a generation of young people that know God's word. They're going to be the leaders that we have in the future. And so there's a point behind all this. It's not just a competition where there is, by the way, $270,000 worth of prize money. But most importantly, they're hiding God's word in their heart and they're going to impact the culture.
Well, this is absolutely wonderful, and we wish you much success. Again, how do people, one more time, what time does it start, and how can people watch?
Yeah, if they go to BibleBee.org, they can get the schedule for the events there. Again, it's starting on the 17th and going through the 19th, and we're doing Facebook Live. So you can check it out again at BibleBee.org.
And we do Facebook Live, too, here. Did you get that idea from us?
Yes, we copied it.
Okay.
Thank you, Emil.
Yeah, thank you. Tell Dr. Jim Leininger we said hello, and we're very supportive of this effort.
Okay, will do. Thanks for standing with us. Okay. God bless you.
Thank you. Check out we got all the stuff we talked about today that Walker could find links to. It's available at our Facebook page for today's issues. My thanks to Dr. Ray Pritchard for sitting in with me today. Alistair Begg is on the way with some excellent Bible teaching, then the news, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. We'll see you back here tomorrow.